We are on Dafayin Chesam on Aleph, 78a, second line. Tani Rav Paishia, Hagiluyin, Nagim Baris, Mephuslaris, Bein Masacham, Bein Masacham, doesn't matter what time of year, it's Noig everywhere. I heard on my cousin's son's, he said that the Chiddush over here is, it really depends on how many snakes there are in the locale. So, in other words, if you are in a place where the Meisach Shomim, there are snakes, so it's also. But if there are no snakes there in your Meisach Shomim, then there's no problem. So, really, it's really would depend on the locale. Okay. Nikuri Tainim. I'm over here.
So, you're saying it doesn't matter?
It's saying it doesn't matter as long as there is something there, but if there are not if there's nothing there, then it could change, I guess. Yeah, I don't really see how he sees it from the words, but it's kind of the words kind of sound the other way. You're absolutely right.
I don't know why I said that.
I don't know.
Okay,
Nikuri Ta'anim, punctured figs, grapes, shaped melons, watermelons, gourds, muskmelons, may not be eaten because the puncture may have been caused by a snake. Now, the Gemara says, I'm Rabbi Yehuda ben Parzi, Mantan and Nikurin, who is the Tana that holds that if you have a hole in there, that's a danger? Rabbi Gamliel. Now, Rabbi Gamliel, the context of Rabbi Gamliel is talking about the water of the Paraduma. As you know, the water of the Paraduma has to be pure water. It can't have saliva mixed in. So if an animal were to eat, would take a little zip of Paraduma water, it would disqualify the whole thing because its saliva will fall in there and you won't have pure water on the Zrika. Question is, what about a snake? So we all said a snake also is the same thing. The Chachamim disagree. They feel a snake does not excrete whatever. So over here, so we're saying here that Rabbi Gamliel is coming out like this mission that says Nikurim are a problem because it'll expel from its mouth the aris. Okay. Rabbi Yoina, ma apachlon mitzvos gabe Nikurim. So he says, what are you talking about? How are you comparing the Indian of Paraduma, which is a mitzvah, to a regular, to Nikurim, punctured produce? Snake venom, here it says over here, snake venom is a danger to life and must be treated very stringently. The word for Paraduma is treated more leniently. So it says over here, number 9, it's true that most times a snake will not spit back into it. And that's why the rabbis were not concerned. However, they are concerned about the safety of such water, and therefore they would agree that it's usur. Amira sakatam me yusur. So basically he's saying that's not totally in the machlokes tanaim. V'lo kein toni, and don't you see this idea that things, when it comes to sakana, things go really to the extreme because it says, you see a bird pecking at a date or a mouse nibbling at a melon, like we said, maybe the place where the animals are pecking at, there was already a hole there, and that was the hole where the snake had bit into it. And that's very, very unlikely scenario. That would be, the odds of that happening are pretty low.
But the other side of the equation is death. So
and that's exactly the Gemara's point. That's right.
But wouldn't the bird and the mouse be poisoned? Mm-hmm. It's only cats that don't get poisoned?
Only if they ate it. could be that they didn't eat it. Like we what saw.
Were they doing it the whole
time? No, no, I'm saying we saw that sometimes the poison goes in a little further, deeper. So that, like we saw 10 people ate from it. They didn't die, and the next person did die. I don't know if that's the answer, but maybe.
Okay.
Amar Abba, to who Amar, Nachash Chozo Meki. He said, again, that it was following Rabbi Gamliel's Shita. Amar Abiyon, Amach, Basal, and Mrs. Kamani Kurim. Same question. Let's see. Well, Ian Trefa, what about Tarfas? Amar Abba, B'Shem Rabbanu D'Saman. So Rabba said in the name of the rabbis of there, which would be Bavel, Shechata, if you shaft an animal, and then the wolves came and they took away the insides. So you can't test them, you can't check them to see if there were holes there, to see if there was a Trefa. So Ksheira, we assume it's kosher, right? Shechaskas b'nei me'ayim kosher. So there's a chazaka that most animals are kosher, so you can rely on the chazaka. V'chash lomar shema nikvu. Are we concerned? Well, maybe one of the wolves made a hole exactly where there was a pre-existing hole while it was still alive. You don't say that. Cheskes b'mi'ayim kosher, you say there's a chazaka. But over here, when it comes to the sakana of a snake, you're going to be very, very machmer. So you see that even the remote possibility, right, is that what chaymer who sakana stafashis. Therefore, 78b. So we see the rabbis were inclined in regard to punctured food like Rabbi Gamliel, and they both they're both concerned. That's not so. The Mishnah is not coming out like a particular time. It's coming out like everybody. Okay, so we've assumed this has nothing to do with paraduma. Tani Rabbi Eliezer Eimer. I call him Ta'inim Anavim Belayla. Person can eat figs and grapes at night. In other words, you can't see. It's dark. Maybe what you're eating has some holes in it from a snake. You don't have to worry about it. Ein Choshesh. Shnemar Hashem Shlaim Hashem. Hakadosh Baruch Hu watches over the simple. Simple.
Just as a side note, I just thought of it now. Rabbi Gamliel's daughter, who was it? The astrologers were saying that she was going to be killed on the night of her wedding.
Yes.
And she ended up on the night of her wedding. She wasn't, and Rabbi Gamliel went to see why. It was because she took her pin from her hair, stuck it into the wall or ground, and right snake.
Because that day she had given some tzedakah, I think, or something like that.
She gave an ani came to the wedding. An ani
came,
her
right.
Right.
I guess it was right. A little bit more sensitive about snakes being around.
But now you're guy that goes around. Right. And you got the line, you can go around and collect money.
Yeah.
Okay. Very good. So number two, he brings a Yerushalmi and Maestras. Let's see, it says over here, Yerushalmi teaches that if one comes across a date tree, all of whose dates are punctured. So you have a date tree with dates, every one of them is punctured. So what is it likely happened? It was probably birds. Probably birds in the tree, a whole flock of birds that went ahead and they were pecking at all the fruit, right?
Well, mm-hmm. How do we farm?
Okay, can will you hold off? I just want to finish this, and we'll come back to that. Okay. Even though we may reason it's unusual for a snake to puncture all of them, the dates are prohibited. We must be concerned that a snake did indeed puncture them. So, I mean, I don't know why you have to say that. Alternatively, even though we can assume that it was the work of a flock of birds, but one of the birds may have inserted its beak into a place where the... In other words, there may have been one that was taken bitten by a snake. And since you don't know which one, you have to be marked on all of them. So there you have it.
So you see from here that we're very careful. You know, we're chashish for any small risk.
Yes.
At the same time, we're saying shalom b'sayim shalom.
Yep, and that's kind of like, and then he continues with the Yerushalmi goes on to rule, Rabbi Yonah b'shem Rabbi Shimon Chasidah, Mikure retav the ibehin osur, the harabim nagubain heter vainri zokin. That the masses conduct themselves permissively and they suffer no harm. So that's basically what you're saying. That in other words, once the rabbim are knowing a certain way, so then we can apply the pasuk of Shem Shem Hashem. We allow it.
There's a precedent. Yeah. You can apply it. If there's no precedent, right. Then you have to be.
That's right. Concerned. Okay. Rabbi Yehuda b'shem Rav, dag nikor osur. If you have a punctured fish, it's osur. Rav Chizkiya Rav Tavi b'shem Rav, dag nikor chai osur. The live fish is prohibited because the poison will circulate throughout the whole fish. Or maliach, a punctured salt fish is also osur. Aydei licha mischalchal, throughout the fish because of the salting. Maize, meitel makamai nekar. If the fish is dead, then you take away the area of the puncture, and that's all you need. The rest of the fish you can eat. Okay, Rabbi Yaakov bar Acha b'shem Rabbi Chiya bar Arba, avatiach shanika. What if you have a melon that's been punctured? Shenis nasa from b'yayahu, or his insides have dissolved, then osur. Then you know that these are two indications that there's been some venom in there. What?
Chad? We have seedless water.
Chad bar Nash have a taught in melafafon nakor. It was a person carrying punctured melon, and then he fed it to 10 different people, and they all died. The trickles of venom passed through the melon, the slice through it, and it's pits. So I guess that's a raya that you have to be worried about that. There's another pshat in number 7, that the yorin, instead of rerin, but that means the residents of the area where the 10 people died, they saw him, and they cut him in two. They obviously were not happy with this guy. So they went out with their ninja swords. Chad bar Nash havasani kufar de imar. The guy did not like lamb meat. Chad zman havachal kufar. One time he was sitting and eating meat, Avrachad, and one person passed by and told him, Amalei de imar, that's lamb meat you're eating there. His balasum is, he got so disgusted that he was eating lamb meat, he died.
Can't relate
to that, huh? In modern medical journals, in number 8, it says that there are instances of what's called psychogenic death. Anybody hear that? Psychogenic death. Anyway, this is an idea that something that you find repulsive can kill you. Hamariah, I mean, I think that peanut allergies may be all psychosomatic, right? Hamariah shrunk before.
Oh, man, peanuts.
just joking. Hamariah shrunk before the guy. I just wanted to see if everybody was listening.
You want to roll back the tape?
Roll back the tape.
Shoyim
Hashem. Shoyim Hashem. Hamariah shrunk before the guy. There were some donkey drivers. They were staying at an inn. Amrin Loi, they said to their host, have lon flofchen, give us some lentils to eat, v'yavon. So they gave them some lentils. And they liked it so much, they said, give me seconds, have lon tinyon, give us seconds, we loved it so much, v'yavon, they gave it to them a second time. Amrin Loi, they said, so the donkey drivers told them, chanamai, have a tavon mini lane. The first ones were better, these aren't so good. What was the secret ingredient in the first group that made it so tasty, Amrin Loi? So they said to them, we found a spinal column of a snake in the original lentils, and that spinal column must have had a little taste to it. Everybody knows those cookbooks say, one bag of beans and one spinal column of a snake.
That's like the sardines. They have tongue, they have the bone. It's delicious.
Yeah, so he told them that. All they had to do was tell that to these donkey drivers. So they all dropped it. Okay, Ksiv, but Tzoyis Hashem Dachi Yish, Kam Oif of Yashlim, he
told. With the cat.
From disgust.
Not from disgust.
The spinal column's no problem.
They ate a piece of the snake.
The snake was dead and all dried out, no problem.
What can you say to the Arabs?
I just hope that they also find the food disgusting and they drop dead. Siv, Bertos Hashem Dachi Ish, Gam Oiv of Yashlam Ito. When Hashem favors a man's ways, even his foes will make peace with him. Mm-hmm. All right? So, Rav Meir Omer, Zeha Kelev, that's a dog. It's a snake. Now we're going to have two stories which will show these ideas. Raya Chavun Chalav was a herdsman who was milking their animals. Asa Chivya V'achamina, and a snake came by and drank from the milk. There was a dog that was staring at the snake. When the herdsman came to drink the milk, the dogs began barking. But they didn't understand what he wanted. So the dog drank the milk himself, and the dog died. So the dog was Meiser Nefesh to save his masters.
Man's best friend.
Man's best friend. Okay. Avad tum shchik go baise. Now, a certain person ground some garlic in his house. Asa chiva de tur, a mountain snake. Tur is a mountain, right? A mountain snake came by. V'achamina and ate from it. It was obviously poison. V'have chivi de veso mistakabe. There was a house snake that was looking at the mountain snake. Asum ne baise mechamina. The people came into the house to eat from the garlic. Mishrei machsar tar lehin offer. And the snakes start throwing dirt upon the people. Lois Bonerim, but they didn't understand what is with the snake. The Kalak Garme Gave, and the snake felled itself into the garlic so they should not eat it.
You can't make this stuff up.
So there you have an interesting story of a snake. Again, these are two stories of snakes. No. It's a story of a dog and a snake. Who was it said? Remeir said it was the Kalav. And Yeshua said it was a Nachash, so now we have two stories. Final incident. Chad Ranash, Summon Chad Rabban. Here we have a certain man invited a certain rabbi to his home for a meal. Aisiv Kalbo Gabe. So the host seated the dog next to the rabbi. Amalei, the rabbi said to him, Bizoyin Anachaivach. Do I owe you this degradation? Do I deserve to be disgraced by having you sit a dog next to me? Amalei Rebbe, he says, Rebbe, no, I don't mean anything by it. I'm honoring the dog. Tivuanu Shalom, I'm repaying the dog a favor. Why? Shabayin Alon Lekarto, there were abductors that entered the city. Olchad Ben Hoyin, one of them came to my house. Bal Mintzavitzi, they wanted to take my wife, either to marry her or to violate her. Bachal Beitzav, and the dog ate his testes in order to save her. So in gratitude for saving my wife, I have the honor of having him sit next to you, my Rebbe. So, this is the winning story of the year, this story.
I'm going to send this to Reader's Digest, I think.
You're going to send it to Reader's Digest. Excellent. So, now, I want to tell you my thoughts on this story. I have it a little...
Well, you went through the top, so I want to
share with you a little Ian.
If you
No. This is 100% good. You're going to like this. So, what do you see from the story? What you see from the story is that the makom that you're being mechaved one person, even though it may be a bezayin to another person, but it could be that the covet outweighs the bezayin, or it's apparently, I'm assuming that what this guy did was acceptable, and he's not wrong. If he's not wrong, then you see something from this story. And I'll tell you what I'm referring to. Here's the story that I heard from the Chazon Ish. There was a very wealthy person, and he was having one of those meetings in the house to raise money. What do they call those
things?
Parlor meetings. The parlor meeting. And he said, you know, if the Chazon Ish will come to my parlor meeting, he just has to come here and sit here for 5 minutes and be mechaveres, I will give $100,000 to the yeshiva. So they went to the Chazon Ish, and they told him, you know, this Gavir, he's willing to give us a huge sum of money if you'll just come to the parlor meeting. Hazayish said, Mishum Eifnit, a bazillion HaTaira, that you think Torah is for sale, that we're going to just sell it, right? You've heard this story before? I read this story someplace, I don't remember where. But you think about it for a second, it mamash bears on this discussion. Because here, it's the same problem, it's the same issue, it's a covet for one, b'makam b'zayin of another. And our story seems to say that's okay. What do you think, Avram?
The only problem with the whole story is this is a dog, not a person.
Yeah,
I don't interpret it that the Chazanish thought it was a Mizayan to him. I thought
Mizayan HaTorah.
Mizayan HaTorah to say, if I show up, I'm going to pay you. It's like, Torah's for sale. That's how I interpret that. Not so much that he was a...
Right. So, regardless, but what I'm saying is...
One is a person's covenant.
Okay. You could be machalik if you want to be machalik. But
the footnote says that the dog's there to protect the rabbi.
Yeah.
Not to be covered to the dog, but the dog's there to protect the rabbi. Just like he protects me or my wife, he's protecting you.
That's not what the
Gemara says. That's what the footnote says.
Yeah, well, whatever. That's what it says. Now, there are... We have a few minutes.
You're on a roll, so you may as well.
But about your story.
I have a story. I looked up in the state sofim today, because I figured there's got to be some stories in here. And sure enough, he's got a whole page of stories here. He's talking about the chiyuv of hakaras hatov to even the inanimate. So he has a bunch of stories from Rabbi Leo Lapian. I don't know why he's picked on Rabbi Leo Lapian. He must be a Talmud or something. Anyway, so the Talmidim found him sweeping the stones, and they asked him, what are you cleaning the stones for? He said, many times I was nana from these stones to sit outside and teach Torah on these stones, and you have to be mechaved the inanimate, because if you're not mechaved the inanimate, the sophist, you're not going to be mechaved people, and if you're not mechaved people, so if you won't be Muhammad HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Another case. He was very old, and he was really very, very much of every moment. And he told them he wants them to bring him to a certain faraway place. They said, what's going on over there? He says, this is my barber. He's making a bar mitzvah for his son, and I have to show HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He gave me haircuts throughout my whole life. I have to show him HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Another story. They have that story, and I'm not saying it over because everybody's heard that. yes. There was another story over here that there's a famous picture of Rabbi Leo Lapian feeding milk to a cat, and the story behind that picture is that the cat was making noises, you know, crying like a cat does, and the barkeep inside said, let's get rid of that cat, and he started screaming, are you kidding? When we first built the yeshiva, that cat chased away all the mice. We have to have a karas hatov for that cat.
The story of Rukhaim.
What's that?
The story of Rukhaim with that cat also.
That cat got around.
I just heard this yesterday. I thought maybe it was from you, but it's not. That it was Rav Lapian's wife that took care of the cat. And when she was Niftaras, he then started taking care of the cat.
Oh, okay. Well, that's another. That's part two of the story. Or maybe mine part two and your part one. Yeah.
The karas hatov for inanimate isn't the hardest times. I mean, Moshe Rabbeinu, you don't need to go.
Yeah, true enough. Now, it says over here, one last story over here. This one is a real doozy. There's a Gabbai stuck in Yerushalayim. He came to Italy to raise money for Moses in Yerushalayim. So he went to this one kavir, and he was like, you know, in this, like a palace of a house, and there was beautiful silverware and crystal and everything. And all of a sudden, he sees a bunch of broken glass in the corner. So he goes to the gvir, what's with this broken glass? So he told him, that broken glass is worth more to me than everything else in my home. Tell me the story. He says, he was in London, and he was learning in yeshiva, and he was 13 years old, and there was a letter that his grandfather in Italy needed him to come to help him with the store because he was getting ill. So his parents sent him to Italy for the summer. He gets there, he starts helping his grandfather, but his grandfather's matzav deteriorated on kadekach that he ended up dying, and he ended up taking over the store for them. And one thing led to another, he really got involved and he was being matzliach. He was very busy. One night, he was so busy, he said, you know what, I'm going to have to skip my roof. He skipped Meirv, then he skipped Chakras, and then you know how it goes. One thing leads to the other. He ends up raising his kids. They're not even Shomrei Torah Mitzvahs at this point. He's walking home one day, and he sees kids gathered around a little child who's on the floor crying and screaming, what am I going to tell my father? What am I going to tell my father? He says to the kid, what happened? He says, my father gave me, he's very poor, he gave me money to go buy oil for Hanukkah, and I went and bought it, and he told me, be careful, don't stop bringing the oil right back here, because if I don't want it to break. And I didn't listen to him, I played with my friends, and I fell down, and it broke. What am I going to tell my father? So he's inconsolable. So he told him, he had Rachmanis on him, I'm going to go get you some oil. So he went and he got him oil. And, of course, the son went back to his home and didn't, you know, they lit Hanukkah. But when he got home, he said to himself, he repeated to himself what the child was screaming. What am I going to tell Abba? What am I going to tell Abba? And it made an impact on him. He said, what am I going to tell Abba? Avinu Shebashamayim. And it made a hargashas tshuva in him. And he went back to the location where the boy had dropped that vial of glass, gathered up the pieces of glass, and brought it home. And that glass was what caused him to do tshuva and become from and everything. So that was why he kept that glass. That glass, he had a certain hakaras hatov for. That was the last story I wanted to show with you. Have a good night.